RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Western correspondent is Brett Nielsen of BrettNielsen.com. Brett is an infrastructure engineering manager for a software company. To break away from the high-tech work, he enjoys camping with his wife Ashley and daughter Lily in their Keystone hideout. The three of them are based in Utah and frequently find themselves enjoying extended weekends in state and federal campgrounds. Brett likes to say that time camping isn't spent, it's invested.
Hi, Brett. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back.
Oh, well, last time on episode number 13, you took us to Green River Campground in Dinosaur National Monument, which straddles the border between Utah and Colorado. Where are you taking us to this week?
Well, we're going to head all the way down south and to the west side of the state, and we're going to check out the Zion River Resort located in Virgin, Utah.
Wait,
resort,
stop.
Brett? What is
resort?
This?
Hello.
Pause. Is this Brett, our Utah
Somebody
correspondent?
Brett.
Yeah, we snuck away for a little weekend at a resort and loved it.
Who are you referring to?
Well, my wife was itching to get out of town, and we weren't so excited about a weekend trip down to Vegas, and so we decided, let's take the camper and go down to Zion National Park and leave our daughter with one of her grandmas, and just the two of us, my wife and I, headed down for a little couple's weekend away.
Brett, you're a genius.
Hey, it was awesome.
Now, Brett, if there is a time to break out of the state park, you know, $12 campsite and splurge on a resort, date weekend is the time to do it, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a great choice. It was a great location. We want to go back and take our daughter. It would be a great place to have her there, but we had an awesome time, just the two of us.
All right, so position us a little bit more specifically with the location of this campground in Utah.
Yeah, so this, as I kind of said, is down in the southwestern corner of the state. We're about 13 and a half miles outside of Zion National Park, about 290 miles south of Salt Lake City. So we're all the way down south. And if you were to come out of Las Vegas, you're just under 150 miles to get up to the resort here.
Is that far enough south that the temperatures start to get warmer, or is it not really that way?
Yeah, it is for sure. So these guys offer snowbird rates, although you do get lower temperatures here for part of the year. But there's only a small percentage of the time when you're down in that freezing range, which is really December, January, and February. The rest of the season, your lows don't drop below freezing.
Okay, so this is really a good option any time of the year.
Yeah, they are open year round, and there's always the ability to come down here and, of course, head into the national park, which is kind of the main attraction around this area. Your high temperatures are going to range from 52 in January. They're going to get up around 100 in July. So that would be a great time to make sure you've got the air conditioning working. And then your average temperatures, we went in March is, mid-60s, April's mid-70s. So.
Oh, beautiful time of the year then to visit. Okay, yep. So we know that this is a private campground because you floored us with it. Now, is it any membership discounts here?
Yeah, so they are a good SAM park. Their rating is 10.9595, so a really high rated park. And they do offer a good SAM discount, but you do have to bring your card, as I found out and did not have my card with me, and did not collect that discount.
You Ouch. Didn't get it?
No, I didn't have my card with me, and they didn't give it to me. So so make sure you have your card, and you'll get your discount.
If it's me, I'm photocopying it, and I'm sending it in the mail, and,
That's right.
and getting a retroactive
yeah.
discount.
Yeah.
So how much were sites at this resort?
Yeah, so the RV sites range anywhere from $50 to $64. So I see that as very reasonable for where it is. Their premium pull-through sites are the $64, and a back-end site's $50. So, you know, real average kind of price for a private campground.
Hard to get into?
You know, it really – we didn't make reservations very far in advance and didn't have any problems that weekend. There were a couple of events in the town – and they still weren't full. Now, just before this interview, I did look for Easter weekend, and they are all booked up for Easter weekend, but they only put that notice out on their website a couple of days ago, so, you know, less than a week in advance. So I would say maybe major holidays, you're going to want to make sure you have some advance reservations here, but, you know, it didn't seem like it would be that hard to get in and out of here.
So what are some of the amenities that they have at this campground?
Yeah, so all the sites are all full hookup sites. So you've got 30 amp and 50 amp. Not every site has 50 amp, but a good portion of them do. And then they also have a cable television hookup there, so you can plug in right there on the pedestal. They've got free Wi-Fi that actually works. It's obvious in the park that these guys have put some money into it. They've actually got some nice, what I'll call towers with antennas on them that are beaming out signal across the park. We were able to get on the Wi-Fi. It worked great. In fact, in the park, we didn't have any Verizon cell service, so the Wi-Fi was our only connectivity while in the park to the outside world. The actual sites themselves, you know, typical picnic table, they each have a fire ring. And then in the larger park itself, you've got an area for dogs. It's kind of a fenced off area. They've got a larger area for larger dogs, and then a little bit of a smaller one. Back at the office, they've got a game room that's got a pool and a hot tub. They've got puzzles and TV and microwave. They do morning coffee service there.
How was the coffee, Brent?
It was, you know, it was fine.
this is, now, hang on a second. To be fair, you are a little bit of a coffee snob, aren't you?
Yes, yeah.
You're like a third wave coffee guy. Like, you actually yes. know what that means.
Yes, third wave coffee, single origin. Yes, I you know, walk in the mornings down from my office in downtown Salt Lake to a specific roaster that I like and get my coffee from them. And yeah, so.
Well, give them a shout out. What's the name of the place?
The place that I like is called La Barba. And so they are my local roaster that I've kind of become friends with them, and we've done some private cuppings with some of my friends and their head roaster, and it's been a lot of fun. So it's a nice relationship.
Great. Now the indoor facilities at this Zion River Resort look really nice, right? Like the indoor kind of game room and all that stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, they've got this game room. It's got a pool table and puzzles and TV. It's a great place to just kind of kick back and relax. They also have a big, what they call the social hall, which is like a big screen TV in there. They'll put on a game at night. They were doing movie nights in that. And then their camp store is like nothing I've ever been in at a campground. It was basically like almost like a full convenience store plus a gift shop. And so they had all kinds of different little things that you never knew you needed in there. And then all your little necessities as far as if you forgot something or needed a thing of milk or a soda or water, or, you know, whatever it is.
Brett, so, I'm going to shock you. Most private campgrounds have camp stores like that.
Yeah, that's just something I'm not familiar with. This was a great experience.
I know. Those state park campgrounds sell like firewood.
Firewood.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
ice.
Firewood and ice. That's about it. Yeah. And sometimes they're out. Yes.
That's right. Or just closed indefinitely. Now, so, I know you were on your date weekend, so you probably weren't taking the wagon rides, but what kinds of organized activities were there available at the campground?
Yeah, so they do different different activities. Like I mentioned, movie night. They have an ice cream night. They do have a wine and cheese night for adults only, and that was like on Wednesday nights, and we weren't there on Wednesday. And then they do a bunch of themed weekends, like Memorial Day weekend. They have a teacher appreciation weekend. They do a Hawaiian luau. They do a big thing for the 4th of July, and so they've got all these different themed weekends where they've got a bunch of different activities. And then they have some of the common ones, like, you know, the mining sluice and some of those more common activities that that are there that are just kind of, you know, anytime you can jump in and do them with the kids. So,
sounds like a nice combination of like being a great place for a romantic weekend, but then also being a great place to bring the kids if you have the kids. So it seems like you could go either way at this campground.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we were there by ourselves and we were having a good time, but all the streets were... had a lot of kids riding bikes and playing around with remote control cars. And then over by the dog area, there's a nice big playground set up with some slides and swings. And the kids were over there. But one of the things that we really liked is at 10 p.m., that park was dead silent. Yes, everybody was in bed. I mean, the people that were still outside by their fires were very respectful and quiet. And I mean, it was lights out. Everybody, you wouldn't know anybody was even there at 10 o'clock. So
I have to. I have to ask you now. Like at the state park campgrounds in Utah that you love so much, is that sometimes a problem? Like, do people not get quiet at quiet time?
Yeah, you know, because you just don't have anybody there to really enforce it. A lot of times you might have a camp post at the site. Sometimes a camp post is managing a couple of campgrounds that could be miles apart. Occasionally you'll have a ranger drive through the campground. It is a lower cost. You're going to get people that are going to come up. They're going to party after work and they'll be up late into the night. And so there are times where, you know, something where you have a presence of the management, which the management was very present at this campground. In the evenings, the management, I assume it was the manager or the owner or somebody, was making laps around the campground. We saw him probably a half a dozen times drive by our site in the evening, and just waving and just making sure everything was going the way that it was supposed to. So just making sure everybody's having fun, being safe, and not annoying their neighbors. And that was really nice to see that they actually care to that level.
All right. Now, you told us a lot about the sites already. You said they have the picnic tables and the fire rings. Let's like zone in a little bit more on the campsites. Are there some that you think might be, you know, more inviting than others? Were there some that you might want to avoid?
Yeah. So one of the things that when I first looked at this, I heard that there's a river that runs right through the campground, essentially, and you can get a back-end site that backs right up to that. And when I called and talked to them on the phone, if you've listened to other of the podcasts, you know that's the key. I found out
good
that
Brett,
those...
Good Brett.
Hey, this was a first, so I had to do exactly as I was told, right? And so I found out that those sites are all gravel. They're all pea gravel. And they actually charge a little bit more from them for those sites because they're up against the river. And so they said, well, for the same price, you can get a pull-through site that's right across from those. And they're a nice concrete pad. They've got a grass patch and then pea gravel around the fire ring. And I said, that sounds perfect. Let's do that.
For all of our regular listeners, you know how Brett feels about pea gravel and concrete pads.
Yeah, it's just not. We didn't have the daughter with us, so I wasn't too worried about the gravel, but it wasn't going to be good. And the nice thing was that this was another thing about the staff here. In the mornings, maintenance people would come out and they would be out in the streets taking the gravel and sweeping it back up into the sites. So, I mean, they were taking real good care to make sure that the gravel was where it was supposed to be and wasn't getting out of place. But the sites themselves have, you know, as I said, the nice concrete pad. Ours was level. All we had to do is chalk the tires. We didn't have to level anything. You have a nice big grass patch with two really big trees. We were there early in the season, so there's not any leaves on the trees. But in the summer, they would provide some great shade. And then you just have the pea gravel right around the fire ring, which makes sense just based on, you know, what's going on over there at the fire ring with the fire and sparks. It just makes sense to have the gravel over there. So
would you make the same choice again when returning? Or do you think that it might be a good trade-off to be on the river and have the gravel? You know, like, how do you feel now having been there?
You know, I would probably do our same site again, the same type of site. The river, maybe at different times of the year, would be, you would have more volume out of it and be able to hear it more. But even when we were over by those sites, you couldn't hear it all that well. And there's a big berm of kind of dirt and rock on the backside of it. So you don't get any view of the river. You can just hear it. Some of those sites are a little bit bigger and they're more private because you have nobody behind you, obviously. But I would probably stick with the pull-throughs here. I was pleasantly surprised at the space. I didn't, you know, feel like I was in a past the Grey Poupon kind of situation. we had enough room that we weren't interfering with our neighbors. And I would probably stick with the pull-throughs here.
Now, is it easy to walk down to the river if you don't have a site that's on the river? Can you just kind of go for a little walk and stroll by the river? How does that work?
Yeah, they've actually blocked a section off where they could have put in sites and didn't, and they have a little park. I'll say a park. It's a big grass area with some trees, and then they've built steps up over that that berm, if you will, that then get you down over to the river. So it's very convenient to get over there. You're not having to sneak through anybody's campsite or anything like that. There's a designated area. You can get over to the river that way.
All right. So for any of our listeners that are already convinced that this is a must go to while they're near Zion National Park, what kind of insider tips, in addition to the information that you've already given us, can you share?
Yeah. So probably the biggest one, and when we saw it, we couldn't quite believe it, is some of the sites, mainly sites 74 through 76, are very close to the playground. Quite literally, if you back your trailer too far in, somebody might come off the slide and hit the back of your trailer. So you are on top of the playground. So now those sites did stay open the weekend. So my guess is they don't put people there until, you know, that's like a last resort.
Overflow. But
yeah, I would avoid 74 through 76 because you are, and maybe you want to be that close to the playground, but that would be a very unfortunate area.
A really good tip, because sometimes we call and say, oh, we'd like to be close to the playground.
We always say, here's the secret, we always say close but not too close.
Yeah.
I don't want a kid I don't know sliding into my into my ladder.
If you want to be close to the playground and you're okay with a back-end site, again, gravel, 73 is a huge site. It's a really big site. It's kind of the playground's on a corner, and it's just after the turn of that corner. So you can see the playground from your trailer, and where your door side would be, you can see the playground, but you're not right on top of it. There's nothing between you and the playground, but you would be about as close as I would want to be in site 73. But that would be great if you've got some kids. They could just run right out the door, right over to the playground, and be there without any problem at all.
But you're far enough away that no kid is going to mistake your RV roof ladder for part of the playground.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All right, Brett. Well, it sounds like you had a great weekend here at this campground. But at Campground of the Week, we know that nobody's perfect. And we just like to offer that one recommendation that would make this, you know, take it up a notch or two. So I know you got one for us.
Yeah, I have two here. And one's a common one that we've talked about on other campground reviews, is blocking the hookups. Right. So all the trailers or all the RVs are all facing the same way. So the hookups of the guy next to me is, you know, feet from where my campfire is. Ugh. And there's very little that blocks that. They have a large rock there, but everything's in plain view. So I would really like that just to be masked a little bit more. They do a beautiful job. Everything's great, but another rock or two strategically placed would really help that out. So
yeah, one shrub goes a long way, right?
It really does. It really does. The other thing that I had here is the staff overall. I had a great experience with them. They were very friendly, but there were at least one individual there that maybe wasn't as friendly as I would have hoped. The interactions were a little bit curt and to the point, and maybe a little polishing could have done them well. But overall, you know, everybody was there. They obviously had the best intentions of the park on, you know, in their minds. Everybody that we interacted with was perfectly fine, with the exception of, you know, kind of one staff member that interactions were a little bit tense, but, you know, it's that's going to happen.
Well, it is, but it is so important for campground owners that may be listening to remember that it, even if your guests, if you only have one person on staff that's a little curt, your guests may be interacting with that one person, and that's going to be their takeaway, and that winds up in those reviews.
If there are 10 awesome people and one cranky person, sadly, you're going to remember the cranky person. So,
no cranky. And we interacted with this individual a couple of times. When we booked our site, we interacted with this person, and we almost decided to change our campground choice just because of the interaction over the phone. So, which is unfortunate, but we had a great time. I'm so glad we didn't change, but it's something that, you know, campground owners should take note of. Every single interaction has got to be positive.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for that review of the Zion River Resort near Zion National Park in Utah. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute to talk about all the activities and attractions near this RV resort. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968, to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Brett Nielsen from brettnielsen.com, and he just gave us a great review of the Zion River Resort. And now we're going to start talking about some things to do in the area. And of course, we have an amazing national park nearby and all kinds of other great stuff. So Brett, get us started. What do we want to do when we're staying at the Zion River Resort?
Yeah, so obviously the major highlight is Zion National Park. You can't stay at the Zion River Resort and not go down the street to Zion National Park. It's the obvious major feature in the area. When you go into the park, there's a couple of different ways to tour Zion. In the off season, you can do it mostly by your personal vehicle. However, usually around April 1, they move to part of the park is only accessible by shuttle bus. Zion is the largest populated park in Utah, or the most heavily visited. And so they've blocked off parts of the park that you can only get to by the shuttle bus. Unfortunately for us, the weekend that we were there, they started the shuttle bus service. And, you know, a little insider fact about me, I've got a lot of motion sickness. So riding something like a shuttle on a mountain road doesn't really work for me unless I have my medication with me. And I didn't take it with me because I was expecting to drive my car. But we talked to some locals in town, and they said that they had started the shuttle bus early because of the crowds that they were already seeing in the park. No doubt because of the 100-year anniversary and just the ongoing increase in the traffic that these guys are seeing.
Yeah, that's, you know, I would never have thought of that. I thought the shuttle bus being introduced is such a good thing because the congestion really was getting so out of control. But then I never thought of that flip side for people like you.
It's unfortunate. You know, things like taking the train to work or, you know, having other people drive around town, it doesn't work well for me. So I just, you know, I know the situations that I can handle, and you know, everything's fine otherwise. So we still had a great time. We went in into the park, and we took the part of the park that you could take your personal vehicle through, which is the Mount Carmel Carmel Highway. This was also known as the tunnel section of the park. So you go through this beautiful windy path and up these hills, and you go through what was once the largest man-made tunnel in the U.S. And it tunnels back through the rock, and you come out on the other side, and it's almost like a totally different area. Still very rocky and, you know, kind of the traditional red rock, but you're more up on top of it than being down below. And so it's a different feel as you exit out the other side. And there's some nice hikes and things on the other side. One of the main ones there is probably the Canyon Overlook hike. It's a very short 1 mile round trip, but the reward at the end of that hike is amazing because you look out over the area where you came from, where you entered the tunnel, and the views are just amazing off that side.
Is there white knuckle driving at all on that drive, or is it pretty straightforward?
No, there's lots of pull-offs. The roads are nice and wide. It's definitely not something like what I experienced when we were up in Glacier at, you know, going to the Sun Road. So it's a very easy drive. There's a nice mix of trucks, cars, motorcycles. There is a length restriction and a height restriction because of the tunnel. So when you go to the park, you need to make sure that you comply with that. Otherwise, you either have to have a paid escort through the tunnel, or they simply won't let you go through. When some of the like Cruise America RVs are going through, they actually stop all tunnel traffic and make it one way as the RV is working its way through the tunnel, because it is tight in the tunnel and there's no lights or anything in there. So it can get a little sketchy if you've got big vehicles in there going opposite directions.
How did the F-150 handle, Brett?
It was awesome. It's always awesome. So it works great, and we had a good time there. The other half of the park that we had planned on going to is the Zion Canyon Scenic Drive, and that became shuttle only a little bit early this year, and I would suspect in years to come it will do the same. Typically, that's an April 1st change. And we had planned to go up there, and there's a lot of really good hikes in there. The ones that we were planning on, kind of just trying to take it easy. We weren't out there to, you know, conquer the world that weekend. It was more relaxing, but we wanted to do the Emerald Pools hike. The Riverside Walk were the two that we were really focusing. If you're a little bit more adventurous, the Narrows is always a very popular hike. That's up to 16 miles long, and you basically do the Riverside Walk. You get to the turnaround point, and that's where the Narrows starts, and you start going up that. And if you're a little bit more adventurous and not afraid of heights, Angel's Landing is one that you absolutely have to do. That's a 5 mile round trip. But it is, if you're not familiar with the Angel's Landing hike, get on Google, do an image search for Angel's Landing, and you'll see, what these people are doing. They're basically walking up the spine of a mountain, holding onto a chain that's been bolted into the ground there. So
and there are some great YouTube videos of people doing both those hikes as well, if you want like, a really serious visual.
Yeah, and the hikes even can get more challenging than that. There's one called the Subway that actually has a little bit of rope work and rappelling involved in it. So you know, you get everything from a nice paved trail like the Emerald Pools and the Riverside Walk, which are perfectly fine for kids because they're paved, all the way up to, you know, seniors that are you know, needing a little bit of an easier hike, all the way to something as technical as the Subway, where you've got to have a little bit of mountaineering gear and some ropes to be able to get through that. So you get a wide range of stuff as you go up that Zion Canyon Scenic Drive. That's definitely, you know, the main part of the park, so to speak.
All right, so Zion National Park, you're going to get all outdoorsy. You're going to have all of those amazing nature experiences. And then you might be up for a little shopping, right?
That's right, yeah. So the city that's right outside the west side of the park is called Springdale. And there's a lot of little gift shops and markets. We saw several that had lawn ornaments that, you know, that would kind of spin in the wind and that kind of stuff. And a lot of rock shops, if you are into geodes or different types of minerals and these kind of things, there were lots of rock shops there, which was fun. We've got a big piece of glass in our front yard that was given to me as a gift, which is actually made from windshield glass out of a machine that makes windshields. It's the leftovers at the end, and they break it up into pieces. And I had never never seen it anywhere, and they've got it for sale on the side of the road down there, which was the first time I'd ever seen it somewhere besides my front yard. So lots of fun little gifts in that. If you're headed back towards Zion, the Zion River Resort, that's in Virgin, Utah, and there's a great place. It was closed, unfortunately, but it's a very, I would say, a tourist trap that your kids are going to want to stop at. It's called the Fort Zion's Gift Shop. And the buildings are an old Western style building, but they're very cartoonish. And what I mean by that is like they're skinny on the bottom and big on the top. They're all like these fake buildings, but you can kind of walk around and get pictures. They've got like a jail and a bar and all these kind of things. And then they do have what looks like an old fort that you can go in, and that's a big gift shop in there. So it's probably one of those places that you should stop. And we would have stopped there if they would have been open when we went by.
I'm getting hungry, Brett.
Yeah, there's a great place back in Springdale. It's called Oscar's. their saying is, if you leave hungry, it's not our fault. So
that's so cute. What kind of food is there?
Well, they said it was Mexican, but we had garlic hamburgers. And
that's not Mexican?
No, well, it had guacamole on it, so maybe it's Mexican.
I'm envisioning air quotes around Mexican.
Yeah, so it's a very, I mean, if you drove up on it, you would say, oh, that's a Mexican restaurant. But we sat outside, beautiful views on the patio. It was a little bit cooler the day that we were there, but they had some awesome heaters out there on the patio. In the summer, they've got misters and that kind of stuff going to keep you nice and cool. The food was great. The chips and salsa was great. The area was there. The staff was great. I would highly recommend hitting up Oscar's when you visit the area.
Right. So go to the Mexican restaurant and order yourself a hamburger.
That's right.
It'll be great.
And if you check any of the online reviews, that's exactly what they say. Get the hamburger. So
did you leave hungry, Brett?
We did not. In fact, I didn't even finish mine. So
all right. So we don't have to blame you.
No, definitely not.
Are there ghosts in these parts?
Well, you know, there's a little town called Gaffton, which is a ghost town. And one of the things that I've wanted to do for a long time is go to ghost towns. For some reason, they're just kind of fascinating, these old abandoned buildings. This little town was only in existence for about 85 years. It dates back as far as 1859. And there's only three buildings left in the area, but it's kind of off the road a little bit. So you definitely need to look up directions. But you go down this dirt road for way longer than you think you should have to, and all of a sudden you're there at this this little town, and they've got a church/school. And then a house, actually two houses that are there. One's been kind of fixed up a little bit, and one's very much in its original state. And it's just interesting to kind of get off the area a little bit and kind of go learn about the 25 families that called Gaffton home, and kind of learn about what happened to them. And it's a little bit interesting as you dive into the history of some of these little towns that, you know, were only in existence for a short period of time and are long gone at this point.
Were you the only ones walking around, or are there people milling around?
Oh no, we were the only ones there. So so that makes it even more spooky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, then feels like it. Yeah.
You're going down
if
this
you went
road.
At night, that would be really spooky.
Yeah, when I was looking up things to do, I was reading a review from somebody, and they said they went here on Halloween, and I just can't imagine being back here at these abandoned buildings in Halloween, especially if it was night. I don't know that I would go there.
No, that's not my style. I can't get that creeped out.
If there was like 10 people with me, I would do it.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Zion National Park happens to be kind of near, I mean, you know, relatively Bryce Canyon. So if people are in this area and they're just sort of passing through, right? Like maybe they're just driving through the state, they're trying to make a couple of stops. Would you recommend trying to fit a visit to Bryce Canyon in while you're staying here?
Yeah, so if you're the road that I talked about that went through the tunnel, if you continue on that road, you will get to Bryce Canyon. And it's only about 2 hours from the campground. And so you could either continue up to Bryce Canyon and then continue on north and east from there, or you could make that a day trip. Leave in the morning, head up to Bryce Canyon, spend the day up there exploring, and then come on back through the park. the neat part about that is as you're going through the park in the morning, you're going to get the sunrise. And if you come back in the evening, you're going to get the sunset. So you're going to get two different views of the park, the Zion's that is. And then you'd be able to spend some time over in Bryce. However, Bryce then starts to, you know, jump you over more towards Arches and Canyonlands and those parks. So if you are trying to make all of the parks there, you would, you know, just want to kind of continue through on your way.
It's a snowball effect that those Utah national parks.
Your national park cup just runneth over in Utah. Like, it's just totally unfair.
Yeah, we've got a good selection of them, and they're great parks too. We're real fortunate to have those.
Which is your favorite?
You know, I still go back to Arches. I really like Arches. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time there, and that could be part of it. And it was the first time I had seen some of that stuff, and it was just kind of, you know, jaw-dropping and mind-blowing, just some of the formations that are there. It was just, I was really impressed. It definitely made a notch for me, so.
You know, Brett, you've lived in Utah for a long time, right?
Yes, I have.
And yet it really seems to me, the more we talk, that you getting an RV really pushed you to do a little more exploring in your state.
Well, yeah. So both my wife and I grew up here, and we didn't realize how fortunate we were with the mountains and everything that we've got so close. I moved out of state with my wife for several years. It was about 10 years we lived out of state, and we lived in flatland country for a while, and we really found out we missed the mountains. And so now that we've moved back to Salt Lake, we spend a lot of time outside. We spend a lot of time in the mountains. And now that we've got an RV, every chance we get, we're going. And so, yeah, the RV has really opened up our eyes and has allowed us to get to some of these awesome places that have been here longer than we've been here. And we didn't even know they existed. It's amazing what you can go out and see.
Well, we're sure glad you're exploring because you're bringing back some good information. So we also have listeners that are travelers, road trippers, tent campers, and they might be really interested in visiting this area. And you mentioned to us that there was this really interesting company called Zion Trailer Rentals that you noticed at the campground.
Yeah, so we all know that a lot of the campgrounds have cabins, and Zion River Resort is no exception. They've got cabins there. But if you really want that trailer experience, the Zion Trailer Rental Company, they deliver the trailers for you to the campground. So you go on their website, you pick your trailer, you pick your weekends, and they will deliver it to the campground. This specific campground, they give a 20% fee on the camping. If you have a trailer through these guys, the people that were across from us were in town for a marathon that weekend. They came in from LA, and I was talking to them about this because I saw the sign on the trailer and asked them how it was working, and they were very pleased with it. In fact, one of the times I saw one of the managers of the trailer company come over and check with them, and I heard him say, "Oh, you don't have a table? Let me go get one for you." And he brought back a folding table for them. So it's a great option, Zion Trailer Rentals. If you want to try this, try it out in a trailer, experience the campground, and you don't have a trailer, or you simply don't want to just drive it all the way to the campground, this is a great option to be able to do that for the weekend.
Brett, thank you so much for that awesome review of the Zion River Resort. And thanks to our sponsor, Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit them at jayco.com. Brett, where can our listeners find you online and on social media?
On the web at brettnielsen.com and Instagram at instagrablin.
All right, excellent. And you've been busy on the blog because you've been putting up posts about a lot of the gear that you reviewed for us on that other podcast, right?
That's right. And it's getting camping time, so the blog's getting ready to fire up for the season.
That blog is fired up and ready to go. Love it.
It is.
We'll be reading. We'll be following your adventures.
We'll be reading, and we'll be seeing you at the campground.
See you at the campground, Brett.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents, who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.